And I'd like to call this the desert, in the desert of sin. And there's an explanation for that. It's not necessarily that this desert is sin, but in Moses' day, verse 1 of chapter 17 says, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped in Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. You see, the Amalekites attacked the Israelites in this situation. And this path that we are on in our lives, you kind of wonder, well, what does the second book in the Bible have to do with me today? Why pick that? Why pick Moses and the Israelites exiting Egypt into this wilderness land? Well, we are all on paths, aren't we? We're all on journeys, one shape or another. And this path that we are on takes us places from time to time. Places that we neither expected or considered going. And sometimes these places are good and fertile and wonderful and beautiful, like the blossoming trees out in spring right now. Sometimes they're good. And sometimes these places are like deserts, the desert of sin. They're dry, they're barren, and full of danger at every turn. And whatever path you are on today, there's a lesson for us in this scripture. And we're gonna dig right into it. Do you have your Bibles? And if you have them, let's look at this more in-depthly right now. The first point that I want to make this morning, and you, if you have your insert, there's a little section that I like to call the ADHD section, because I'm ADD and I need something to doodle on, and it keeps my attention, but it also helps you if you want to follow with me in this train of thought, on this pathway that we're on. The first point that I want to make with this passage of Scripture is that there are dry desert places to navigate on our spiritual journeys. And I'll go to the next slide there, Charlie. But there are dry desert places to navigate on our spiritual journeys. Truth? Have you been there? I don't know about you, as a Christian, as a new Christian, it seemed to come so easy, didn't it? At the very beginning, when you accepted Christ, there was this moment where every passage of Scripture that you opened up, oh man, it was for me. It was great. It was wonderful. And then there's times that we hit these dry patches in our spiritual walk where prayers just don't seem to be as eloquent or as good, and we just don't feel like we're in touch with God as we should. Because there are dry places that we have to navigate through in our journey. And here the Israelites, they traveled through the desert of sin, and there was from place to place. Why? Because there was no water. It was a dry and thirsty land. Louis Albert Banks tells of an elderly Christian man, a fine singer, who learned that he had cancer of the tongue and the surgery was required. And in the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure I will never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer the question that he was asked. He simply shook his head no. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment. "I've had many good times singing the praises of God," he said, "and now you tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last, and it will be of gratitude and praise to God." There, in the doctor's presence, the man sang softly the words of Isaac Watts, the hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power, my days of praise shall ne'er be past, while life and thought and being last, O immortality endures." You see, even in the midst of struggles, in this dry moment, in the moment where all future was uncertain, he could sing praises to God. And today, maybe we are in those moments. We're in a dry spot or dry place, and we need God's filling of our lives. Maybe today we feel as if we have lost our spiritual voices. And we are not as on fire as we once were. The scriptures don't seem to come alive to us as they once did. And this is when we have to dig deep and persevere. This is where we must hold that line, even if we don't feel it. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, "If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown his own." So even if you feel like your faith is fading or you're in a dry place, God remains faithful to you. Does that help you? Does that bring some assurance to you? His commitment to you never, ever changes. So the first thing, again, that there are dry and desert places to navigate on our spiritual journeys. The second point I want to point out this morning in this passage of Scripture, look at verse 8. And the point is this, we will face adversaries and opposition along the way. We will face adversaries and opposition along the way. Look at that. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rehidim. And I'm going to probably mispronounce it every time. Sorry. But they came to this place where the Israelites were and attacked them. You know, Max Lucado tells of a funny story. And maybe if you've heard it, forgive me for sharing it one more time. But Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problem was that when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner, yeah, that should be a tell right there, she removed the attachment at the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick up the phone and she barely said hello when she heard, whoop. Yep, you got it. Chippy got sucked into the vacuum. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened up the bag, and there was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered in soot and dust, she grabbed him, raced over to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the water. And then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what most compassionate people would do. She picked up her hairdryer and blew that pet until it was dry. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. After a few days of trauma, the reporter who initially wrote the story about the event contacted the owner of Chippy to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing anymore. He just sits there and stares." It's hard not to see why. Getting sucked in, washed up, and blown over, that's enough to steal a song out of the stoutest heart, Max Lucado writes. You know, sometimes we get blown over, sucked up, and washed out, don't we? By adversaries and enemies, and sometimes even we can become our own worst enemies with the choices that we make and the decisions that we choose. There are adversaries around us, and there are spiritual adversaries too, that tell us we're not good enough, we're not educated enough, we're just not equipped. And all these are lies told by Satan himself, wanting us and willing us to be imperfect and horrible and broken. And that's what Satan wants us to believe, that lie. He's an adversary who wants to tackle us and to blow us over and wash us up and just scare us. But you know what? We face these adversaries and oppositions, and we're not alone. We are not alone. The third point I want to make here this morning, if you look at your scripture again, verse 9. Verse 9 is the heading for our scripture. "Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of the men and go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand atop the hill with the staff of God in my hands.'" And I got to tell you this morning, it wasn't some kind of magic trick. This wasn't like a Harry Potter episode. This wasn't something magical about that staff. It wasn't about the staff. It was about God's leading and their following. It wasn't about the staff, it was about God's leading and their following. You see, Joshua was instructed to take a few men with him. It wasn't the entire group. There were a million. There was at least a million or more Israelites. He said, take a party, take an army, and go down. And I will stand up here with God's staff, the staff of God, and lead you to victory. But it wasn't magical. It wasn't something mysterious about that staff. It was God's very presence in that situation that made the difference. Scott Reeves, a United Methodist pastor, tells a story about a box turtle. And maybe you've seen them. I've driven out on Mill Road. If you go out towards US 41, there's a small pond there. And if you've ever driven by some of those lakes, you see those turtles that just get up on those rocks and sun themselves. And it happens out quite often. But here, in Scott Reeves' case, it was near the end of the school year in lower Alabama, and some of the weather had turned unseasonably hot from mid-May. And as he was driving home from the country school, he was substituting that day, he noticed a box turtle working its way across the hot pavement of the country road. So he steered his car to pass over, and then wondering if he'd ever make it to the other side of the road before being run over or boiled to death in his shell, without hesitating, he pulled off the next driveway and made his way back to that box turtle. And he had made pitiful progress, slowly, painstakingly making his way step by step on that heat of that asphalt and towards the side of the road. So he stopped his car and got out and picked up that turtle and moved it into the grass on the side of the road that he was heading toward. And this pastor says, as he returned to his car, he continued on his journey home thinking about that turtle, that he had no idea what or who this person was guiding that turtle. That turtle had no idea, let alone what he was trying to accomplish for that turtle. The turtle had no idea of his intentions or purpose for helping him. Perhaps it was little in his mind. And with the awareness that he had of life, of things and living, that pastor could have been God to that turtle. And he further writes on to say that he was shivering to think of that thought, of how similar that he was to that traveling box turtle. That how immensely insignificant he was compared to God's creation and God himself. Why did I stop the car, he says, and move the turtle to the side of the road out of harm's way? I pondered that question. Where would I go now if God were too busy to turn aside and save me? I drew great comfort in knowing that like that little turtle, I could have been burning on the fiery path leading to certain death if God had not rescued me and led me beside the still waters. I did not pretend to know God's purposes or plans for me or anyone else for that matter. What I do know is that as insignificant as we are, in his wondrous universe, God loves us, every one of us. He is not too busy to turn aside when we are in need, when his lowly creatures need rescued. You see, in that moment, Moses and the Israelite people needing rescue, the Amalekites had attacked them, and they were needing someone to deliver them. And he tells Joshua and this army, when you go, God's staff will be raised above you and you will have victory. It's basically what he's saying. God's presence will be with you in the battle. You will not be alone. It wasn't about a wooden staff. It was about God's presence and their faithfulness. The fourth thing, the last thing that I want to point out, and probably the most poignant for us this morning too, here it is. When we grow weary, who lifts our arms? Let me say that again. When we grow weary, who lifts our arms? Look at that passage, verse 12 and 13. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his arms, or his hands up, one on one side and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Mark Guy Pierce preached a sermon on Christ's invitation to the weary and heavy laden. I had finished my sermon, he wrote, when a good man came to me and he said, I wished I had known what you were going to preach about and I could have told you something. Well, my friend, this pastor said, may I still have it? Tell me what you were going to tell me. Do you know why his yoke is light, sir? Well, because the good Lord helps us carry it, I suppose, was the pastor's response. No, said this man, shaking his head. I think I know better than you about this. You see, when I was a boy at home, I used to drive the oxen. And the yoke was never made to balance, as you see, or as you said in your sermon. You see, father's yokes were always made heavier on one side than the other. Then, you see, when you put the weak bull on the alongside the strong bull, the light end would come up on the weak side of the ox, and the heavier end would be on the stronger one. That's why the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because the Lord's yoke is made after the same pattern, and the heavy end is on the shoulders of the strong bull, or the strong father himself. You see, when Moses got tired, the Lord had provided him with strong and helpful support that could help him lift his hands in the time of need. And I wonder sometimes, you and I, when we go on our path, when we walk this life, next week, maybe you have a tough week ahead of you. Who's lifting your hands? Who's lifting your arms in your day of distress? Who is there to encourage you? Who is there to strengthen you? Who is there to provide hope when you feel all hope is lost? Now, as you look around this room, I hope that you can say to yourself or say to each other that there are brothers and sisters in this room who care about me, who want to see me succeed, who want to care for me and will be there to lift my arms in need when I am weary. Moses had that. Aaron and Hur were there to lift his arms so that the people of Israel could experience a victory. You see, this journey that we're on isn't only about the destination. Yeah, we look towards heaven, we look to eternity, we look to that day when we see Jesus face to face. And that's great, but it's not just about the destination. It's also about discovering who we are together along the way. It's also about the journey and how we interact with one another and with God. Sometimes we wander through this dry and barren places where the Word of God doesn't quite quench our thirst and our prayer lives are not what they should be. Sometimes we wander around and wonder what God is doing and why He seems to lead us to dead-end roads and health problems when all along He doesn't do that. He doesn't lead us to these places, but sometimes our paths and things out of our control and even sometimes our choices we make lead us to these places. I want you just for a second, and this is nothing embarrassing, but look around the room today. Look around at each other. It don't make you feel uncomfortable, I know. But we are all people with different stories to tell. Isn't it true? We all come from different perspectives. We all come from different walks of life and different places regionally. And yet we are all members of God's family. Currently, we are journeying alongside one another. And even if not for just one day, we're here together right now, right here. Just a sign of hands. Is this journey easy or difficult? If you think it's easy, raise your hand. If you think it's difficult, raise your hand. Okay, most of you are saying, yeah, it's not easy. It's difficult. There is opposition, both in choices that we make and in others who confront us along the way. These dangers along this path can weaken us. They can threaten to destroy our faith and our very souls if we allow them to. The enemy would love nothing more for Christians to be the only Christians by title, but having nothing to show for it in actions and in lifestyle choices. The enemy is quite comfortable. Let me tell you this right now, very true. Satan himself is quite comfortable with us simply going to church on Sunday mornings, but it never touching our everyday lives. He's okay with that. It means he still has us. It means that it's okay because we're not a threat, if that's the case. If it doesn't touch our lives, our language, our habits, our true selves, he's okay with that. Because we are never contained in the desert of sin. We will be contained in that desert of sin if we allow it just to be a Sunday thing and nothing more. We won't run anywhere. We won't do anything to unravel the thread that is the bond of sin keeping us from real, authentic freedom and victory. It's victory in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Victory in Jesus, through Jesus, who leads us to eternal promised land. It's about that journey today. It's about your journey, your story. Lastly, we found Moses growing tired in this passage today, right? Our scripture tells us that he grew weary from holding his hands up high. If you've ever done that, that's pretty tough. I mean, it doesn't seem now, but have you ever done those, I don't know if they call them torture tricks, but you sit against the wall and you hold a broomstick out there. Have you ever done that? Maybe at camp you did punishment for kids. Maybe not. But as you held up that, and that's a hard thing to do for a long period of time. And Moses grew weary from holding his hands up high and helping to secure the victory for others. And guess what? We do that for others too, whether we know it or not. We hold our arms up by showing people God's love, by being hope to those who have no hope, by generously giving in our generosity, by our acts of kindness and mercy, we hold up our arms for others fighting to survive in the desert of sin. But sometimes, we too grow weary, don't we? Sometimes we need help to keep going, right? We need a little prodding, a little energy boost, a little, attaboy, you can do it, right? We need that. We need you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to come alongside each of us, to help us lift our arms in the heat of battle. We need you to help us continue to wage this war against sin and death and persecution and slavery of sin. Without your added strength, we become defeated and lonely, and we will give up everything. We'll want to give up and quit and throw in the towel. You see, you are vital. You are needed. Because when you are tired, you can count on me. You can count on others to come to your aid, to lift up your arms. When I'm tired, I can count on you coming to my aid and lifting up my arms. When we see others stuck in sin, we can come alongside them and lift them up out of it because we too have been there. Maybe a time or two. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing." Dear soldiers and friends, we must lift each other's arms in this battle. We can't win it alone. We can't go it alone. We are not an army of one. We must work together. We must lift each other's arms in this battle. And perhaps right now, you are carrying too many burdens. I don't invite Alex, you want to come up? We're going to lead a song in a minute. Perhaps you are struggling through a dry and barren place today, and you need a thirst-quenching drink only the Holy Spirit can provide. Perhaps you are waging through a lot of opposition right now. Perhaps you're weary, and it's time to allow other brothers and sisters in Christ to help you. You have the trouble trusting other people because you've been burned a few times too many, and you're reluctant to allow others access to the vulnerable you. But it's time to say, I need help. Stop going it alone. It's time to admit that you are weary and you need those arms to lift today. But maybe there are some of us out there who are refreshed and their spiritual walk is really going strong, and you can come alongside us and become a stretcher bearer, an arm lifter who is able to be an encourager, who is able to add their strength to ours. And if you're that person, will you please help us today? Can you come alongside us, those who are battle-weary and can no longer lift their arms? Can you carry our burdens for a while, please? Can you come alongside us? Will you sacrifice your time and the things that you want to do for those who seem at wit's end? We need you today to step up to the weary and lift up their arms and lead them to victory instead of having them head for defeat. We're going to sing a song now called Come As You Are. And as we sing this song, I would like us to spend some time thinking about our spiritual journeys right now. Let's consider how we are currently using our gifts that God has given us, and perhaps how we would like to stretch us, how He wants to stretch us far beyond we ever thought possible. Also, as we sing this song, if there are those who would like to come to this altar, and I don't do this every Sunday, but this Sunday I feel led. If you want to come to this altar and lay down whatever burdens that you have, or you want to come and you are weary and you need people to pray for you, and you want to do that right now. And also, here's the last one. Perhaps you want to bring the concerns of others to Jesus' feet. Right now, will you come as we sing this song and let your arms be lifted and your strength recharged? We're going to sing a song right now.
Come now, sadness, wherever you have been. Come broken hearted, rescue begin. Come find your mercy, sinners come kneel. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can heal. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can heal. So lay down your
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that your hand would be upon us. Lord, you know of the struggles that we are facing in our life. You know the struggles of our families and the burdens that we share together, Lord, make it lighter. Help us to lift each other's arms up in our times of need. Remind us that we don't need to go it alone, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who ought to be with us every step of the way. All we have to do is cry out for help. And Lord, most importantly, you are there in those moments of great need. You are always there. And I ask, Lord, that as we cast our burdens down and we ask for help, that you remind us of your presence. Remind us that we're never alone, that this journey is a part of who we are, that we can grasp it, that we can learn from it and learn from each other. Now bless us this week, Father. Guide us as we go from this place, but help us to lift each other's burdens as well. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your reminder this morning. In your name we pray these things. Amen.